All right, let's confess our sins as we begin this lesson so that we will be in fellowship and enjoy the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would teach us as we go through this lesson, help us to make this lesson clear, both in the presentation and in the understanding of the listeners. And we pray that you would then help us to apply these things as we go through the rest of this day, the rest of this week, and the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." This verse gives a list of qualities that come out of the techniques we are studying. We see these in one form or another throughout Scripture. And these are what we are after. And observe this. These are things we experience in time, as evidenced by the fact that they can be pursued. We want to take a brief, closer look at these qualities as they are enumerated in 1 Timothy 6:11. First of all, we see righteousness, which is purity that comes through confession. Anytime we see righteousness or the righteous, we can know that it is talking about our cleanliness, which comes first of all through being cleansed by confession. And then the righteousness that comes through the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what we see in our behavior, in our actions and our thought, as a result of the control of the Spirit. Next, we see godliness, which is the character of God portrayed in us when we are in fellowship. This is the divine goodness that only God can produce. Then we see love, the epitome of the production and fruit of the Spirit, and the ultimate outcome of spirituality and maturity. Another is endurance, or the enduring of the rigorous training program which God gives to those who are growing. Finally, there is gentleness, the attitude of rest and peace that comes irrespective of circumstances, the result of yielding to God's will and surrendering to His plan. That gentleness is that gentleness of spirit that we get when we are in fellowship and when we are maturing. And that results in an attitude of faith and trust that causes us to have this rest and peace, and a gentleness of attitude toward those around us. All right, we will see these qualities again as we work through the techniques that allow them to happen. Confession is the starting point for all of the techniques. It will apply to prayer, study of the Word, faith, training, surrender, and other techniques that we will be learning. These will enable us to mature and to serve God in the way that He directs. In part 3, which we are now taking up, we continue to feature technique 1, confession, as we introduce and explore technique 2, which is prayer. So we begin part 3, being devoted to prayer. In this part, there are 6 chapters. These are parameters for prayer, planning our prayer, warming up for prayer, conditions for prayer, faith and prayer, and God's will and prayer. And we are entering chapter 6, the title of which is Parameters for Prayer. This is the first chapter in Part 3, and is also chapter 6 in our list of chapters as we progress. In this chapter, there are 5 lessons. These are being devoted to prayer, what is prayer, to whom do we pray, what do we pray for, and Paul, our model for intercessory prayer. Now, as we go through these lessons, we will get more and more concrete, and by the time we finish this part 3, you're going to know exactly how to pray effectively. But let us develop the base for this knowledge so that by the time we get to the really concrete techniques, then they will be clear and you'll understand the basis for them. All right, this is lesson 27, which is being devoted to prayer. Prayer is a technique that is crucial to Christian living. Romans 12, 11 and 12 says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Being faithful in your prayers means praying reliably and consistently. Prayer is the underpinning of joy and hope, the greatest expression of zeal and spiritual fervor. Prayer is fundamental for all believers. Converted Jews in the early church were enthusiastic about their Christian experience. It was said of them that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's in Acts 2:42. They did it all. Bible study, mutual edification, and fellowship. All ensconced within a custom and practice of perpetual prayer. Prayer and study were at the heart of all they did. We want our time here on the earth to count for the Lord. When we are praying, we are making good use of our time. We will get rewards in heaven for service we do here, and prayer is creditable service. Sometimes we think we're not doing enough for the kingdom, but if we are praying faithfully, we are chalking up credits, and we will have a positive effect in the world. When you get a chance, look at Matthew 6:5 and James 5:16, which corroborate this idea. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Here's something we can be fully committed to. Devotion to prayer. We can pray anytime, anywhere, in all kinds of weather. Through prayer, we can freely engage God, moment by moment, breath by breath. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 admonishes, "Pray continually." Prayer is something we are to do without stopping. It is an expression of God consciousness or preoccupation with God and fear of the Lord, which is awe, reverence, and faith as we raise our hands and our hearts to God, our Heavenly Father. A major part of our growth as believers involves integrating prayer into every aspect of our lives. In moments of crisis, or in times of ease. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." There is no aspect of our lives that is unrelated to God. The more consistently connected we are with God through prayer, the more we will experience what we see in Philippians 4:7. The peace of God that transcends all understanding. And these come from the technique that we saw in verse 6. Not being anxious, but in everything, praying and petitioning our Heavenly Father with thanksgiving, letting our request be known to Him. All right, we have some questions. In addition to being joyful in hope, and patient in affliction, we're also to be blank in prayer. Number two, what were the two main practices comprising the daily schedule followed by early Jewish converts? Number three, how often should we pray? Number four, what should we be praying about in our lives? And the answer to that question is one word. What should we be praying about in our lives? All right, some scriptures. I want men, this is 1 Timothy 2:8. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So remember, as we grow in knowledge and wisdom, we will have greater propensity to pray. For now, we are citing our responsibility to be devoted to prayer. Father, as we pray now, we hope and pray that you will show us what it means to pray when we come boldly before the throne of grace and where we seek your guidance and your provision and your spirit and your power so that we can live this life in the way that you plan and that you intend. And so we earnestly seek your face now as we enter this very crucial topic of prayer. Help us to know how to pray, Father, and what to pray about, and what conditions we need to fulfill in order to make our prayers count. Use us, Father. We commit these to you and ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.